Ja, luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Zephania, waar onze Heer Jezus Christus centraal staat. We gaan de Heer danken, loven en prijzen. En we gaan de uitzending opdragen aan onze Heiland Jezus Christus. Vader, we danken u voor uw grootheid en uw almacht. We danken u voor uw liefde. We danken u voor uw barmhartigheid, Vader Jezus. We danken u, Vader Jezus, voor de glorie van uw naam, mijn Heiland. Dat u de wonderbare raadsman bent, de sterke God, de vredevorst. U bent de triomfator. U bent Emmanuel, God met ons. U bent onze voorziener, Heiland. Daarom komen wij tot u. En we hebben u nodig, Vader, om u alles te vertellen, Vader Jezus Christus. Vader, we danken u dat wij de uitzending mogen opdragen aan uw Vader Jezus. We danken u, Vader Jezus, voor alle luisteraars, Vader. Vader, we danken u ook voor broeder Cor en zuster Marlene, mijn Heiland. En we danken u voor de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest, Vader. Maar Vader, wilt u ons voorgaan in uw woord, Vader Jezus, die gelezen zal worden. En we danken u, Vader Jezus, voor liefde en barmhartigheid. Vader, dank u wel. Vader, dat wij Jeruzalem vrede toe bidden, Vader Jezus. En mogen we u lief hebben, rust genieten. Ja, luisteraars, we danken de Heer dat wij alles aan zijn voeten legt. En we danken de Heer voor de wereld vrede. We danken de Heer voor alle gemeentes waar de Heer mee bezig is om ons vanuit alle situaties te halen om weer zijn gemeentes te bezoeken. Vader, we danken u dat wij weten dat het antwoord bij u is, Vader Jezus. En dat u uw belofte nooit breekt, Vader. Vader, daarom leggen wij alles in uw Heilands door beide handen, Vader Jezus. Want alles wat er gebeurt, Vader, u bent groter dan alles, Vader. Er is niets boven uw Vader Jezus Christus. U hebt alles in uw handen, Vader. En u hebt het woord, Vader, dat ja en amen is, Vader. En daarom danken wij u, Vader, dat wij, als wij bidden naar behoort, Vader, en wij vertrouwen op u, we geloven in uw woord, Vader Jezus Christus, dan gaat u het doen zeker voor ons, Vader, want wij houden van u, Vader. Vader, wij danken u, Vader, dat wij bij u mogen komen, Vader, met al onze problemen, al onze noden, mijn Heiland Jezus. Dank u wel, Vader, dat u onze voorziener bent, dat u alles goed zal maken, Vader Jezus. Dank u wel, Vader. Zegenen ieder, Vader Jezus, die luistert en die mee kan lezen, Vader. En wie dan ook, waar dan ook, Vader, wereldwijd, Vader, strooi uw zegeningen, want het is uw wereld, het gaat overal, Vader. En we danken u voor het kruis, mijn Heiland, waar u uw bloed op vergoten, Vader Jezus. Want u deed het niet uit plezier, Vader Jezus Christus. U doet het niet om de nagelen wonden, Vader Jezus, maar om een gebroken hart hebt u het gedaan, Vader, voor ons, om ons te trekken van het duisternis naar uw wonderbaar licht. Dank u, Vader, dat u de overwinnaar bent. Vader, dank u wel. In Jezus' naam, halleluja, amen. Ja, luisteraars, we gaan lezen uit Hebreeën hoofdstuk 6. Hebreeën hoofdstuk 6. En we gaan naar een kleine woord tevoren. En het woord van tevoren zegt: de Heere zeide tot Kain, wat heb gij gedaan? Hoor, het bloed van uw broeder roept tot mij van de aardbodem. Genesis 4, vers 10. Wie zijn broeder haat, is een moordenaar. 1 Johannes, vers 3, hoofdstuk 3 en vers 15. Al wie zijn broeder haat, begaat een moord. God heeft ons niet geroepen om te doden. Samen te leven heeft hij ons geboden. Alleen liefde plant zijn schepping voort. Halleluja. Alleen liefde plant zijn schepping voor. Halleluja, dank u Jezus. Ja, we gaan naar onze Bijbelleesplan. Hebreeën hoofdstuk 6. Laten wij daarom het eerste onderwijs aangaande Christus laten rusten en ons richten op het volkomene zonder opnieuw het fundament te leggen van bekering, van dode werken en van geloof in God. Van een leer van dopen en van oplegging der handen, van opstanding der doden en van een eeuwig oordeel. En dat zullen wij doen, indien God het vergunt. Want het is onmogelijk degenen die eens verlicht zijn geweest van de hemelse gaven genoten hebben en deel gekregen hebben aan de Heilige Geest en het goede woord God en de krachten der toekomende eeuw gesmaakt hebben en daarna afgevallen zijn, weder opnieuw tot bekering te brengen. Daar zij, wat hen betreft, de Zoon van God opnieuw kruisigen en tot een bespotting maken. Want de grond die de regen, welke er telkens opvalt, indringt en gewas voorbrengt, geschikt voor hen, ter wille van wie hij ook bewerkt wordt. Ontvang zegen van God, doch als hij doornen en distelen draagt, is hij ondeugdelijk en niet ver van de vervloeking die uitloopt op verbranding. En we gaan naar vers 9, volharding in de hoop. Maar wat u betreft, geliefden, ook al spreken wij zo, wij zijn overtuigd van iets beters waaraan u heil hangt. Want God is niet onrechtvaardig dat hij uw werk zou vergeten. En de liefde die gij voor zijn naam getoond hebt door de diensten welke gij de heiligen bewezen hebt en nog bewijst. Maar het is onze begeerte dat ieder uw dezelfde ijver blijven betonen tot de verwezenlijken der hoop tot het einde toe, opdat gij niet traag wordt, maar navolgers moet zijn van hen die door geloof en geduld de beloften beërven. Want toen God aan Abraham zijn belofte deed, zwoer hij omdat hij bij niemand hoger kon zweren bij zichzelf, zeggende: voorzeker zal ik u zegenen en zekerlijk u vermeerderen. En zo, door geduld te oefenen, heeft deze het beloofde verkregen, want mensen zweren bij wie hoger is en de eed dien hun tot bekrachtiging als einde van alle tegenspraak. Daarom heeft God, toen hij des te nadrukkelijk aan de erfgenamen der belofte het onveranderlijke van zijn raad wilde doen blijken, zich onder ede verbonden, opdat door twee en veranderlijke dingen, waarbij het onmogelijk is dat God liegen zou, wij die tot hem de toevlucht genomen hebben, een krachtig aansporing zouden hebben om de hoop te grijpen die voor ons ligt. Haar hebben wij als een anker der ziel dat veilig en vast is en dat trekt tot binnen het voorhangsel. Waarin Jezus voor ons als voorloper is binnengegaan na de verordening van Melchizedek, hoge priester geworden in eeuwigheid. Hoofdstuk 7. Christus en Melchizedek. Want deze Melchizedek, koning van Salem, priester van de Allerhoogste God, die Abraham bij zijn terugkeer na het verslaan van de koningen tegemoet kwam en hem zegende. Aan wie ook Abraham een tiende van alles gegeven heeft. En voor eerst volgens de uitlegging van zijn naam, koning der gerechtigheid, vervolgens ook koning van Salem. Dat is koning des vredes, zonder vader, zonder moeder, zonder geslacht, register, zonder begin van dagen of einde des levens. En aan de Zoon van God gelijkgesteld, blijft hij priester voor altoos. Merk dan op hoe groot deze is, aan wie de aartsvader Abraham een tiende gegeven heeft van het beste van de buit. En nu hebben zij, die uit de zonen van Levi het priesterambt verkrijgen volgens de wet, wel de opdracht tienden te heffen van het volk. Dat is van hun broeders, hoewel deze uit de lendenen van Abraham zijn voortgekomen. Maar hij die zich niet tot hun geslacht kon rekenen, heeft van Abraham tienden genomen en een zegen gegeven aan de drager der beloften. Nu is het onwedersprekelijk dat het mindere door het meerdere wordt gezegend. En hier ontvangen sterfelijke mensen tienden. Doch dat iemand van wie wordt getuigd dat hij leeft, ja, om zo te zeggen, is zelfs Levi die tienden heft door Abraham aan het tienrecht van een ander onderworpen. Want hij was nog in de lendenen van zijn vader toen Melchizedek deze tegemoet kwam. En Christus de hoge priester dan Aaron. Indien na het Levitische priesterschap het volmaakte gebracht had, immers daaronder heeft het volk de wet ontvangen. Waarom was het dan wel nog nodig dat een andere priester naar de ordening van Melchizedek opstond, van wie niet gezegd werd dat hij naar de ordening van Aaron is? Want uit een verandering van priesterschap volgt noodzakelijk ook een verandering van wet. Want hij van wie aldus wordt gesproken, hij behoort tot een ander stam, waaruit niemand met het altaar te doen had. Het is immers duidelijk dat onze Heere uit Juda is gesproken, ten aanzien van welk stam Mozes met geen woord van priesters gerept heeft. En nog veel duidelijk wordt het als naar het evenbeeld van Melchizedek een andere priester opstaat, die dit niet geworden is krachtens een wet met een voorschrift betreffende vleeselijke afkomst, maar krachtens een onvernietigbaar leven. Want van hem wordt getuigd: gij zijt priester in eeuwigheid naar de ordening van Melchizedek. Want een vroeger voorschrift wordt wel afgeschaft als het zonder kracht en nut is. Namens de wet heeft in geen enkel opzicht het volmaakte gebracht. Maar thans wordt een betere hoop gewekt, waardoor wij nader tot God komen. En in zoverre het niet zonder een plechtig eed plaats had, want genen zijn zonder eed priesters geworden. Want genen zijn zonder eed priester geworden. Maar deze met een eed bij monden van hem die tot hen sprak. De Heere heeft gezworen en het zal hem niet berouwen. Gij zijt priester in eeuwigheid. In zoverre is Jezus ook van een beter verbond borg geworden. En zij zijn in grote getale priesters. Zij zijn in grote getale priester geworden, omdat zij door de dood verhinderd werden het te blijven. Doch hij heeft juist doordat hij in eeuwigheid blijft een priesterschap dat op geen ander kan overgaan. Daarom kan hij ook volkomen behouden wie door hem tot God gaan, daar hij altijd leeft om voor het te pleiten. Immers, zoals een hoge priester hadden wij ook nodig, heilig, zonder schuld of smet, gescheiden van de zondaren en boven de hemelen verheven, die niet gelijk de hoge priester van dag tot dag is. Offers voor zijn eigen zonden behoeft te brengen en daarna voor die van het volk. Want dit laatste heeft hij eens voor altijd gedaan, toen hij zichzelf ten offer brak. Want de wet stelt als hoge priester mensen die met zwakheid behept zijn. Maar het plechtige woord van de eed, die na de wet kwam, stelt de zoon die in eeuwigheid volmaakt is. Luisteraars, want de wet stelt als hoge priester mensen die met zwakheid behept zijn. Maar het plechtige woord van de eed, die na de wet kwam, stel de zoon die in eeuwigheid volmaakt is. Tot zover, ik dank u dat u hebt geluisterd en dat u mee hebt gelezen. Ik heb gelezen Hebreeën hoofdstuk 6 en het gaat over de ordening van Melchizedek en hoofdstuk volharding in de hoop, vers 9. En luisteraars, en hoofdstuk 7, de Christus en Melchizedek, hoofdstuk 7. Ik wil u groeten, wens u Gods rijkste zegen toe, met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene. En nogmaals, de Heere zegene u allen. In Jezus' wonderbare naam. Amen.
Amen, zuster Emma. Dank u wel ook voor vannacht. Een goede nacht, rust en zo, de Heer het leidt. Tot morgen.
En dank u wel, broeder Cor, en de koetjes aan zuster Marlene.
Zal ik doen, zuster Emma. En dit was het openingsgebed en het bijbelleesplan door zuster Emma. Wij gaan meteen doorschakelen naar GCF Ministry.
This program is presented to you by Samuel Lee World Evangelism. Our goal is to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to educate man with the universal principles of God, and to co-partner with Christ in liberating man from all forms of evil and injustice. For more information on Dr. Samuel Lee's ministry, please visit www.slwe.net.
From a very well-known chapter in the Bible, that is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, from verse 22 to 34. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, it's a verse that you all know, actually. Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, from verse 22 until verse 34. And is our blessed Lord, Jesus Christ, is talking. Then Jesus said to his disciples, how many disciples are here? I believe all of you are his disciples. Then he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Provide purse for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Amen. The title of my message today is a message of hope, because today I want to speak to you about hope, or at least I want to bring you to that point of hoping again. Most of our problems in life come from worries. We worry too much. Worries are one of the biggest problems of the 21st century man. Worries make us tired. When you worry, you get tired. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because I worry too. So don't look at me that I am a superman. No, this message is not only for you, it's also for me. We worry often, and worries make us tired. Worries make us sick. There is a relationship between sickness and worries. People worry, and therefore, their bodies are open for sickness. Worries make tired, worries make us sick, worries make us sad. You want to see sad people, see worried people. People who are worried all the time. Worried about life, worried about everything around them. So worries make us sad. Worries make us lose our hope. When we worry, we lose our hope. When we are worried about something, we are losing our hope. When we worry about something, we don't see the light anymore. what we see is darkness. Worries make us doing good things. That is what worries do. Worries make us doing, stop us doing good things. Because we are so busy with worries, we don't have time to do good. Hello. We are worried, which is a part of a human nature. We all worry. I also worry. So worries stop you doing the right thing. Because you worry, you don't know what is the right thing, what is the right decision you need to do. So what we just read, Jesus said, do not worry. Why? Because how many of you can add a single hour to your life by sitting down and worrying about everything? And most of our worries, brothers and sisters, most of our worries are connected to what we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. That is called economy. That is called finances. Touch somebody's finances, depression will come. I'm telling you, touch somebody's finances, sadness will come. Touch somebody's finances, angry face will come. Touch somebody's finances, sorrow will come. But it's not only about finances. It's more than anything else. What am I doing? Some of you may think, I am already 10 years in Holland. What did I achieve in my life? What have I doing? What have I been doing in Holland all these years? What is the perspective of my life coming days? Sitting down and worrying. We worry a lot. What will happen to my children? What will happen to my husband? What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my friend? What will happen to my church? Name it all. We have so many worries in our life. And these days, today, I want to share with you some aspects that what I have been learning, I want to share that with you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Today, I want to share my life experience with you. Of course, if I share my whole life experience with you, we will be for weeks here. But today I want just to share with you what is in my heart. How can we go through life with worries? Worries will always be there. You can never stop worries. There is no medicine to cure worries. There is no medicine to stop you worrying. But the question is, how are you going to deal with worries? How are you going to treat worries in your life? All right? And that is some aspects of that I want to share with you today. Number one, this is a very important lesson. Number one, as long as you see yourself as a victim, you will continue to suffer in your life. Hello. As long as you think that you are a victim of somebody, or you are a victim by somebody, maybe you are a victim of your father, you are a victim of your mother, you are a victim of your friend, you are a victim, you are a victim. As long as you treat yourself as a victim, you will continue to suffer. Nobody can change this fact. Only you can change this fact. You can change your attitude from being a victim into a victorious person. You cannot just sit down and say, I'm a victim. You know, I'm worried in my life. I am sorrowed in my life. I have a stress in my life. I have bitterness in my life because so and so did this to me. Listen to me, my friend. So and so's will always be in your life. You get rid of one, tomorrow you have two new ones. You get rid of two, you're going to have five new ones. As long as we are human beings, as long as we are on this planet Earth, there will always be people who are going to hurt you. And there will always be people that you are going to hurt them. Don't think that the people only hurt you. You also hurt other people. So this is the nature of humankind. Humankind are there to hurt each other and to be hurt. To love each other and to be loved. To bless each other and to be blessed. To fight with each other and to be fought. That's a part of human life. So as long as you see yourself as a victim, you will continue to suffer in life. You will continue to see yourself as a victim. I was talking with a person from a developing world, what we call third world. I don't like that word, third world, but let's say third world. He said, you see, Pastor, we don't have perspective. I said, why you don't have perspective? He said, because what the Europeans did to our countries. We don't have perspective. You see, that is a victim attitude, my friend. Don't look at me so holy. I'm also from third world. But this is what I want to say. As long as you see yourself as a victim, because 200 years ago, the white man did this. 100 years ago, the white man did this. 50 years ago, the white man did this. Shelley is still doing some things that are doing. As long as you are sitting there and, you know, thinking about those things, you will not grow. There are so many things white man did that is not good. But there are so many things white man did that is good. Learn organization. Learn to deal with organization. Learn to deal with your emotion. Learn to deal. Those things, you can learn from them. You see, but as long as we are sitting and saying, I am a victim, this man hurted me, that man took my land, that person is against me, my mother was a bad mother, my father was an alcoholist, you are always going to be a victim. If you want to grow in life, stop calling yourself a victim. Stop having self-pity to yourself. You see, my friend, this is what I want to say. Many of us, we are suffering because we have a self-pity to ourselves. Every time we look into the mirror, we have self-pity. You see, I am such a good person, but everybody else is treating me bad. Oh, come on. Everybody is a good person for himself. You see, my friend, as long as you see that you are a victim, you will always be a victim. No one will help you. No one be able to help you. No one will be able to let you grow. Don't be a victim. Don't blame your condition today because of something that happened in the past. Because my father was not there. My mother. So many people are suffering just because their father was not there. Just because their mother was not there. But life must go on, brothers and sisters. As long as you see yourself a victim, you will not grow. And nobody can change that. Only you can change that. Only God can change that. Only His Spirit in you can change that. You see, that's why I love the Japanese. You see, the Japanese people, about 100 years or 150 years ago, they were nothing. Their country was devastated. Everything was... You see what they said? They said, we're going to learn what the white man is doing. And we will learn from them, but we will not lose our own tradition. We mix them together. And look where they are today. You see, my brothers and sisters, that is how our attitude should be. Oh, I am a victim. That man did this to me. That man did that to me. No, my friend, you are all God's children. And there is no racism. There is no discrimination in the kingdom of God. God loves you as much as He loves me. God does not love me more than you. And God does not love you more than me. We are all the children of God. Hey, don't say I'm a victim. You see, I'm a victim today. I am the way I am today because my friends were bad to me. It's good. Maybe your friends were bad to you. But you need to continue in life. Because by worrying, by self-pitying, by sitting home and thinking what a self-pity person I am, you will not grow in life. I have done that in my life. I haven't grown. You see that, my friend? I have tried that. Oh, I'm like this because my... No, my friend. Life must go on. You are in control of your life. You are in control of your life with God's help, with God's support. So don't worry, the Bible says. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry. How many of you know what will happen tomorrow? How many of you know? Those people who were in France having holidays, they didn't know that the storm will come and everything is destroyed. Those who are going to work in China didn't know that the storm will come and 1 million homes are evacuated. They didn't know. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. You live today, my friend. Today is your day for life. So don't worry for tomorrow. Tomorrow will come. You see, don't be a victim. Don't say, oh, I'm sorry for myself. Many of us, we are sorry for ourselves. We sit home and we cry for ourselves. Now, that is the first attitude you need to change. We need to change. We need to change from being a victim into being a victorious person. No matter how many failures you had, no matter how many times people hurted you, no matter how many times people put you down, as long as you know your heart is good before God, And as long as you know God is with you, do not worry about your life. I was talking to somebody, said, well, you know, Pastor, why I cannot have a job? Because I have a lack of self-confidence. Because when I was a child, my father did this to me. My father that did that to me. I said, did you go to doctor? Yes. Did you? Pastors, they prayed for me. Everything they did. Psychologists, they tried. Nobody can help me. Then I said, you have to help yourself. You have to begin to realize that you are not a victim. You are a child of God. Hallelujah. Number two, what you need to know is that this is a bad news, but at the same time, good news. Problems will always be there. Look at your neighbor and say, problems will always be there. You see, problems will always be there. But problems are there to be solved. Problems are always going to be there, but how are you going to change your attitude? Problem is the same, but you need to change. I need to change my attitude, your attitude toward problem. Problem will always be there. There is no problem-free, problem-proof world. There will always be a problem, but problems in your life are there to improve your life. Problems in your life are there to be conquered. Problems in your life are there to be solved. You see, my friend, that is how you should look at problems in life. You may have a problem in your life and say, well, you see, I have a problem in life. You panic. I don't have future. I don't have hope. I don't have anything. That can be one attitude. The other attitude is that, yes, I have this problem. But how am I going to solve it? Okay, I'm going to contact this person. I'm going to contact that person. I'm going to pray before God. I'm going to put this right in my life. That is the attitude you should have in your life. Instead of sitting and worrying about what can I do for future? What am I going to eat tonight? No, my friend. Stop to see and face your problems. Begin to accept your problems. And by accepting your problems, begin to see the solution to change your problems. Those who seek God, God will help them. Those who are crying before God, God will help them. So seek God. Seek the Lord. He will help you to solve your problems. But if you sit and then see that you are a victim and have a self-pity to yourself and cry for yourself and then see your problems as an obstacle. No, problems are there to make you stronger. Problems are there you to conquer them. Problems are there so that one day you will say to your children, I've been there. I've experienced it. That's why I'm coming to tell you today, my son, my daughter, that is how it should be. Problem-free life does not exist. There is always problem. Even you don't have problem with people, they will have problem with you. Or maybe people have no problem with you, but you will have problem with them. You see, that is our attitude in life. First, you are not a victim. You are a victorious person. Second, try to see how can you solve your problem. Listen to me. When someone is worried, cannot think properly. I have talked with people who are worried. When you talk to people who are worried, they don't listen to you. They say yes, but they don't hear you. You know why? Because they are busy worrying. But when you stop worrying, put your mind in order and begin to think, how can I solve my problem? Then the strength will come from the Lord. And God will bring right people in your life to help you to solve your problem. Problems are there to be solved. Problems are there. Do you have a winning attitude? You need to have a winning attitude in life. Whether it is sickness, whether it is disappointment, are you going to fight against it? Are you going to fight? Are you going to stand up for it? Are you going to be challenged? And that should be your attitude toward life. There are many things I want to share with you today. Number three, this is a very important one. Actually, until now, is the introduction. Now I'm coming to my main message. Number three is this. Don't expect life to be fair. Hello. Now I'm going to say something that you're not going to like it. Life is not fair. If somebody come and tell you, yeah, life is fair. No, don't believe it. Life is not fair. And I will explain to you what do I mean by that. Life is not fair. Don't expect life to be fair. And don't expect even Christianity to be fair. When I was a young Christian, I thought Christianity will be fair. But when I came into Christianity, I saw they are more unfair than even the world. Corruption in Christianity, backbiting in Christianity, gossip in Christianity, jealousy in Christianity, competition in Christianity, fighting in Christianity, they are all existing. They are there. Let us not throw sauce on it to cover it. They are there. They are there. So life is not fair. Life is not fair. Why? What do I mean by that? I will explain to you. Listen, this is very important now. As long as you expect life to be fair, because you do good to others, because you help others, because you are a good Christian, because you believe in God, you will suffer. You will suffer. As long as you think, oh, I am helping people, I am supporting people, I am a good Christian, I am going to church, I'm praying 5 times a day, whatever. As long as that is your attitude, you are going to suffer. Why? Because life is not fair. Let me give you an example. Oh, I'm such a good person. I give my money to the poor. Oh, I'm such a good person. I'm always helping other people. I am always there for them. I'm always for everybody. How come that this person hurts me? You see, life is not fair. You can be good and still be hurt. So, I will see it again, say it again, and I will explain it, what it means. As long as you expect life to be fair, because you are a good person, because you do good to others, because you believe in God, you suffer. But what is the solution? I come. Change. Change your mind. Now, what is that? That is the change. Whenever you do good things, whenever you do good to other people, whenever you are doing the right thing for people or for God, do not expect anything either from God or from people. That is my experience in life. I have been hurt before many times because I help people, and those that I help became my enemy. Those that I help, they gossip behind me. So what happened? I became a bitter man until I changed my attitude. No, when I help somebody, it's not because I want to impress anybody. It's not because I want to show off to God, because God knows my nakedness. No, when I help somebody, close the door and forget it. Because as long as you think you are expecting something from God or people, then you will suffer. You will worry. You will wait for this. You will wait for, but I did this, but this woman did not greet me today. After all these things that I did, maybe the woman has eye problem. She didn't see you today. You see, my friend, this is what I want to say. When you do something for people, do not expect anything from them, and do not expect anything from God. Do it for the sake of goodness. That's all. Because if you don't do that, you're going to sit home and you're going to suffer. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? I was there. I've experienced that myself. You help people, then you are expecting when the phone call is coming. Why the phone call didn't come? Huh? You see, I helped them. Why they didn't call me? Why they didn't thank me? Why they didn't send me an email? Why they are not with me? Why? Why? You know why? I am the problem, not them. Because I'm expecting something. When I do something now, I don't expect anything. I'm free. I'm free. I'll go home, enjoy with my children, enjoy with my wife, enjoy with my family. Who cares if somebody thanks me or not? You can be hurt. Yes. But you need to train yourself not to be hurt. Life is not fair. I'm telling you, life is not fair. There are many ugly things in life. Many, many difficult things in life that you cannot understand. You cannot believe. And you can only change that when you stop seeing yourself as a victim, as a silly, sorry person. Change your attitude. So don't expect life to be fair. After all these things that I have done, this is what they have done to me. Well, they will continue to live their life. You are the one suffering. Because if somebody is capable to hurt somebody, he will not be sorry of hurting. He will continue hurting. The only person who will remain hurted is you in your living room. I feel like teaching today. Do not worry about your life. Life is not fair. In other words, one more time, I repeat, maybe you want to write it. Whenever you do good things to others, then do not expect anything, either from God or from people. Do good things just because you love goodness. Do good things just because you love goodness. Now, we come to a next point based on that. You see, these are all connected to our worries. A self-centered life, those who think only of themselves, it will not end good. It will not end good. You see, this is what I want to say. There are people who want things only for themselves. They are the center of attention. They are the center of importance. They may look good, but at the end, it will not be well with them. You see, that is the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God means it's not about you, it's about others. I'm coming to explain that in a few minutes. You see, there are some characteristics in life that they say, I am the center, I am the center, I am the attention. You see, people who only think of themselves, that they feel good, they feel nice, they feel happy, they feel exalted, they feel fine. That is not good. It will not end up well. It will not end up well. But how can you do that then? How can we see that? I'm coming to that point. Because a self-centered life, a life that only think about himself, a life that only think about his stomach, a life that only think about his dress, a life that only think about his promotion or whatever. That's what Jesus said. That brings worries, worries, worries. If you want to break the worries, what do? Seek the kingdom of God. How do you seek the kingdom of God? Being interested in others. I'm coming to that. Look at your neighbor and say, don't worry. You see, we come to a next point that is connected to the previous point. Goodness, listen very, this is wisdom. Goodness is always surrounded with evil. Goodness is always surrounded with evil. What do I mean by that? That is why good people suffer. Why are you so quiet now? Because you want me to tell you good people don't suffer? I'm sorry. Good people suffer. explain to you why good people suffer. Because wherever there is goodness, there is evil opposing that goodness. Did you hear me? Wherever there is goodness, there is evil opposing that goodness. Wherever there is kindness, there are people who are irritated by that kindness because they are not kind. Wherever there is forgiveness, there are people irritated by that forgiveness. Why? Because they can't forgive. You see, goodness is always surrounded by evil, by bad things. That is why it is not easy to do good. That is why good people suffer. Good people suffer temporarily. They suffer because they choose for goodness, because they choose for honesty, because they choose for humility, because they choose for love. They get ridiculed by other people. They get stumbled by other people. That is why good people suffer. It is very difficult to do good. It is very difficult to be an honest man today. It is very difficult to not play dishonest games today. Why? Because goodness is tough. Goodness has a price. Goodness has a price. And if you want to be good, you need God's help to do good. Oh, come on, somebody. Goodness is surrounded by evil. Say it. You see, have you ever heard the old time saying? Old time saying, whether in Holland or other countries, we always have this image. Wherever there is treasure, you know treasures? In a cave, treasure, there is always snakes. Treasures are always surrounded by snakes. That means goodnesses of life are always surrounded by snakes. If you want to do good, snakes will come around you. If you want to do right, the evil will oppose you. If you want to be an honest man, the evil will stand before you and say, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind to be a good man? After all these things these people have done to you, you want to forgive them? You are a fool. That is evil. But goodness says, don't listen to this evil. It is good to love. It is good to forgive. It is good to forget. And then the evil comes. Ah, don't listen to what this good thing say. You know, can you not remember? Do you not see the evil these people have done? That is battle between good and evil. That's why good people suffer. Good people cry. Good people cannot be dishonest. Goodness says, when you do business, do honest. But the evil says, you are selling wine, no problem. Throw some water in it. Nobody knows. You see, my friend, if you want... Now, I'm going to give you a very bad news today. A very bad news. If you want to be very successful in this life, you can be an evil man if you want. Be evil. You will be fastly successful. But something that is fastly gained will fastly fall. You see, my friend, listen to me. Listen, I love you. That's why I'm preaching this message. That's why I am preaching this message. Because I want you to stop worrying. I want you to stop seeing yourself as a victim. I want you to stop seeing yourself. In Dutch, we say, Zielig. No, my friend. Stand up. Rise up. There is hope. There is future. There is chance. There is life going on. Maybe you are 30 years old. Maybe you are 50 years old. There is still life ahead of you. Goodness is always surrounded by evil. It's very... Listen. It's very easy to be evil. You know, rude people. People who are always rude, thinking about themselves. They don't care about others. They can go up to the ladder. And they can fall from the ladder. But in our world today, if you are kind, if you are nice, if you are honest, Not only you are honest, you are kind. The people will criticize you when you see, he is like this, she is like that. You see? They can do that for honest people. But they cannot do that for somebody who looks angry. You cannot even trap their shadow. You may fall dead. Goodness is always surrounded by evil. That is why good people suffer. That is why good people suffer. When you want to be honest man, you will suffer, eh? Somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I heard rumors about you. I said, oh my God, did I fornicate also? He said, no, I hear rumors about you. I said, what did you hear about me, rumor? He said, yeah, it seems that you are against tithe and offering. I said, from whom did you hear that I'm against tithe and offering? He said, yeah, so-and-so said that you are against the tithe and offering. I said, listen to me. I believe in tithe and offering. I believe when you pay your tithe with a genuine heart, you will be blessed. But I don't believe that you can buy God off with your offering and tithes. And I'm not going to compromise, and I'm not going to preach a sweet message so that I can get more money from you. That is against my principle. You can go away. Some people said, Pastor, I'm going away because I don't see miracles in the church. You are welcome to go, because in this church, there should be only one miracle, and that should be the miracle of love, if we can do that to each other. Honesty and integrity will always stay. Honesty will always prevail. Goodness will always win. It will be shaken. It will be moving. It will be maybe even fallen. But I am telling you, brother, it will rise again, because goodness is good. But good people suffer. Good people suffer. Good people, people speak against them. People talk against them. People think against them. Ah, he's a weak man. Ah, he's weak. I rather, or you rather, be called weak by people, but great by God. Hallelujah. Goodness is always surrounded by evil. But what is then our solution? What are we going to do, Mama? What are we going to do? What is our solution? The solution is in what Jesus said. I'm coming back to that, what he said.